Thank you, Lord, that we can pray for these friends that have requested prayer. I ask the Lord that thou would give them the requests that they required, and help them if they don't get the request answered by thee, that they may continue to trust in thee. Sometimes we want things, and thou dost not want us to have things. So we ask thee, Lord, to give us great peace and patience, that in thy good time these matters will be answered. Take care of Pastor Dan tomorrow in his the book of Leviticus. Take care of our preaching on the Lord's Day. Give us grace and strength. And we thank thee, Lord, for those that are listening to our Bible study and this book of 1 Corinthians. And we thank thee, Lord, for the many that have been listening to these things. We've got these records. We thank thee for not only 200, but 300, and now 400 people. So we thank thee for thy graciousness. Thank thee for providing for our needs, for touching hearts, to give to our ministries. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast answered our prayers. Continue to bless us, help us, and guide us now as we study this book of 1 Corinthians tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, with the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to begin verses 23, 24, and 25. Those who are listening to us on the internet, you get open up your book of 1 Corinthians as well, to chapter 10, verse 23, and read with us. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call at 856-261-9018. Yes, 10.
I think we should pray for your meetings next week.
Yes, that's right, though. We have meetings next week from Monday through Friday at the Chinese Seminary up in Tewaco, New Jersey. So please continue to pray for that. We have, I don't know how many students are there. They're all Chinese. We're going to be speaking in English. We'll have two interpreters, one for a few weeks, 3 days rather, another for another day. So pray for those meetings. We want to speak on defending the King James Bible. We have about 420 different slides and email that we're going to present. It's a long, big subject, so please pray for us as we go. We've heard from Barbara Crowder tonight. Said that they'd like to have them see us there. Probably maybe Monday night we could go out and eat together. They invite us to do that. So they're up in that area. Every time we go up there, sometimes they visit as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, those people who want to call us, give us a call at 856-261-9018 or questions at bftbc.org.
Do you want Pastor Dan to pray for that now?
What do you want, Pastor Dan? Go ahead.
We do want to remember these special meetings at the Chinese Evangelical Seminary. A lot of these students that are there that are coming from different parts of the world and who are there physically and who are perhaps even viewing it from several different countries, allow them to be able to grasp these very important principles of having a very sound Bible that's based upon good Hebrew, Aramaic, and Hebrew texts. Allow them not to be led astray by their modern Bibles they have in their country. We do ask that they would be able to seek out and find a good, reliable translation in the Chinese language, and allow them to use it and be able to see the doctrinal problems that the Gnostic texts have. We ask that we give Pastor the ability to and the endurance to be able to present all these slides on schedule and be able to get through everything and be able to understand the questions and be able to communicate to these students clearly, about a translator to give accurate translations of what's being said in English, and to do that ask that there would not be any confusion on the behalf of the class. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Yes, the Chinese Bible that they use there at the seminary is a critical text and Gnostic texts, and so we point these things out that there's differences and so on. But one of our friends who's on our email list, and she's listening to our programs from time to time, her name is Mabel Lamb, and she's Chinese herself, and she's working with somebody to get a good Chinese translation. She wants it very much. It's right proper to the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. So that's what we should pray for that translation as well. All right, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's begin by reading verses 23, 24, and 25 together. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. All right, verse 23. What does it mean all things are lawful for Paul? In what sense? Pastor Dan?
He's not under law, but he's under grace.
All right.
We read today in this age, you're under grace, not under the law.
All right.
By the keeping the law is not going to give him any special merit or any special salvation.
So the law of Moses, not from Pyrrhus. What does it mean that all things are not expedient? How would we define expedient? Yeah, Sam?
The best as most profitable course of direction.
Mm-hmm. Best, most profitable for themselves and others that are looking through it also. And in the last part of verse 23, what is also true of some things that they do not do? Some things, everybody has that?
Well, they don't build up, they don't edify.
All right. And how would we define a little more in detail, edify? What would that mean specifically? Yes, Pastor Dan?
Okay, look at the word edifice.
Uh-huh.
Edifice is usually a big, tall, huge, gigantic structure.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to have an edifice, you have to start with a very proper foundation. But the idea of edifying is to have it something that's being lifted up or built up,
mm-hmm.
I suppose.
Is it a good idea to have edification of Christians, or doesn't it matter? Yes, Pat?
It's essential. I mean, people get discouraged. Mm-hmm. They need encouragement, but also, I mean, encouragement just not in the human sense, but mm-hmm. from God Himself. They need to be understanding more of the Scriptures every day. And
mm-hmm. What if genuine Christians are not edified? What are they then? What's true if they're not edified and built up? Deville?
They're lost without edification.
Lost and lose their salvation, you mean?
Well, not necessarily lose salvation.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking that edification comes mainly from the Bible.
Uh-huh.
I'm reading the Bible. And if you don't have God's Word, how can you seek salvation?
Mm-hmm. So, edification, the time?
Put on you when you're talking.
Well, I have to move the camera around. I can't just push the button.
Okay. Tammy, do you have something?
What was one of your questions?
Christmas. What is true of Christians that have no edification whatever?
They're stagnant. They're not growing.
Stagnant, not growing.
They may be carnal even.
They're even carnal, fleshly, going with flesh. So, we've got to have things that edify, build us up, and as Bill said, the Word of God is the thing that builds us up, makes us grow stronger and stronger. Has anybody at all reached the place where he or she is completely edified? No, it's a process, it's a progression. No matter how many years you know the Lord. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
I'm here with another message here. Listening to your Bible study from the office here in Beijing, has shared your recent sermon with Rockland Disorderly Christians, 2 Thessalonians, with my mom in Minnesota. She's highly enjoyed the message. Continue to pray for your upcoming King James Bible preservation at the Chinese Seminary. Also keeping your family and ministry lifted up in prayer. You continue to make a positive impact here. By the way, U.S. consulates sent us an approval. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
To interview for my wife's green card, but we'll still be working on gathering needed documents. Hope to continue making progress this month. In Christ, Josh.
Let's wave to Josh over there in China, Beijing, China. Thank you, Josh. Also, I don't know the last part of that, his name, but Josh, also LLTO.
We don't have to necessarily mention it, but we have it here, but we don't have to mention it.
Well, anyway, we're glad for your comment, Josh, and we're very thankful that your wife is now making good progress toward her green card, so she'll be able to come to the country and do the work. Yes, ma'am?
He's Chinese, or just his wife is Chinese?
All right, I think, are you Chinese also, Josh, or just your wife? My wife asked that, so maybe you can come back to us and give us a little rundown on that. Very good. So all things do not edify, they build up in the faith. And then in verse 24, what is the genuine Christian should not do in verse 24? What's the negative here in this verse? Yes, Lon?
Seek his own.
What would that mean, not seek his own?
Well, I guess I need the Dorothy being the chief person and what
you're right.
doing.
All right. Anything else? Seek you. In other words, what's good for you? Just the things that belong to you. Forget anybody else, any other genuine Christian or true Christian. But just seek her. All things, let no man seek his own. Probably the present tense prohibition. Stop seeking their own. His own things, his own profits. But what should be done instead of seeking their own things? Yes, Tammy?
Each man another's wealth or their welfare.
The welfare and others better. That's in italics. So another's things that they need. See, other people have needs as well, not simply our own. Of course, we've got to take care of ourselves first, that's for sure, because otherwise we're going to be dilapidated. But once we're cared for, always remember other people as well. They have needs, just like we have needs, and they're very important. Yes, ma'am?
Strangely,
because
let no man seek his own, but everyone has his wealth.
No, their well-being.
Okay.
I think that's what that's talking about.
Yeah.
Not their assets, not their welfare, but their welfare, yeah.
Their welfare, let's say that that's in italic, so it's just it's in others. In others' benefits, that's benefit, whatever it is. That's what it should be, yes.
It does say.
That's verse number 20.
Yeah, it does say 24. Prosperity.
Yes.
Okay.
So, that we should be concerned with other people, and for instance, the Mabel and her husband to be her friend, Mabel laughs, she's looking after a Chinese Bible that's accurate, and not the one that they have now. The prices that I have now, we've gone there many different years to the Chinese seminary in Tuaca, New Jersey, and we stopped at all these verses, and it's just sad that many of the verses are Gnostic text. It's not the proper text. And so they're wrong. They leave out words and we point these things out every time they go. And they need an accurate Chinese Bible. So I hope Mabel Lamb and others will work on that and get that produced. So then we read 23, 4, and 5. What is this shamble? Oh, excuse me. Back to that.
The message here, Pastor, sending warm greetings to you and your family at BFTBC Church. Well, thank you very much for tonight's Bible study. He's a lot of Carl Mickey.
Let's wave to Carl Mickey up. We're over there in Massachusetts. Wait, is Massachusetts? Wait a
minute. Maine.
Maine. State of Maine. Okay, State of Maine. Appreciate that, Carl Mickey. And so, in verse number 25, whatsoever sold in the shambles, what does that refer to? Sold in the shambles. That time?
It's referring to the meat that is offered to idols.
Okay. So apparently after they offer this meat to idols, they put it into some sort of a shop and then they sell it to make some money. And so on. So whatever is sold in the shambles, these stores that use things offered to idols, what are they supposed to do? What is a Christian supposed to do?
Where this meat came
from. Pardon me?
You're not supposed to ask any questions.
Okay, what should they do with that meat that they buy in the shambles? Well, it says very clearly, eat, asking no questions, for conscience sake. If you don't know that it's sold to, or offered to idols, it's just regular meat, you go ahead and eat, and so on. There's no problem there. Because you're free, it can't, can an idol contaminate meat? No, it can't do anything.
But sure, me outside
of idols. Well, that's true, but the meat itself cannot be contaminated. But let's read verse number 26, 27. And 28. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any one of them believe not that you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if a man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience? Do we need that? Is that one of the third verse?
That was the third verse.
That was there. Okay, so back to verse number 26. What does this verse mean? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness. What do you think that's referring to in regard to the shambles and feeding them?
Well, ultimately, the Lord, he owns you the nut meat, the meat that was offered to idols.
Mm-hmm.
Meat that is offered, everything belongs to him.
Mm-hmm. Everything he owns as a Gospel songs. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth of every man. He's the one that's in charge of everything, and that's what that means. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness. Everything about it is His. And then in verse number 27, what person here is coming into the picture? What person, what is their status, this man in this verse 27? Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Yeah, Tammy?
Well, if a Christian is invited to a feast that an unbeliever is having.
Okay.
So you decide to go.
Okay, non-Christian, not a Christian, I should come to this feast. All right, and then this is verse 27. And, Pastor Dan.
Well, follow-up thought about this. The earth is the Lord's. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 29, Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread about my hand as the Lord, and the thunder and shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail.
Mm-hmm.
That thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's.
Yes.
And very also good. In Psalm chapter 24, and in verse 1, we have mentioned too the phrase Psalm 24, in verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein.
That's
Psalm 24, verse 1.
In what sense do we mean is the Lord's possession? What does that entail? The word, yes, Tam?
Ownership.
What else? The Lord's is a genitive, isn't it? Yes, go ahead, Tam.
Sovereignty.
What else? What else? If it's the Lord's, is He created?
Yes.
See, that's it's from Him. He's the one who created it. As the creator, the earth is the Lord's. Not evolution or big bangs or some other type of thing that caused the earth to have, but it's the Lord's. It belongs to the Lord, it's from the Lord, it's of the Lord, and all of His doings. And doesn't, yes, Pastor Dan.
This is from Josh again.
Good.
He says, to the question was asked from those from the other side of the aisle there, I am an American from Peoria, Illinois. My wife is a Chinese from Shanghai province, northwest China. Josh.
Very good. Let's wave to Josh again. Thank you, Josh, for clarifying that. He's from this country. I take it he's just an American without being Chinese. I think that would be what it means, right? But it could be American Chinese, but it seems like he's...
Well, I think his mother was Minnesota. It's possible.
Yeah,
but I'm understanding from the very beginning context that he would be an American.
Not a Chinese American, but just a Chinese American. And his wife is definitely Chinese. Well, that's good. But apparently he knows Chinese or something. He could probably be able to talk or something. That's possible. But anyway, thank you, Josh, for that extra information that we need. And we're glad that you're listening to us. Praise the Lord for that. Others are listening as well. And so the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, it's in verse number 25, the word conscience is used. Also in verse 29, conscience is used. What is conscience?
Do we talk about verse? We didn't finish 27. I don't think we talked about 28 yet.
No, but that's right. We haven't come to that yet.
Oh, okay,
but 27. But we haven't. So.
Oh, because you're talking about conscience in verse 27.
Yeah, verse 27. Now, if a person bids you a feast and doesn't say what he is or what it was, you're supposed to go, what are you supposed to do? You don't know who it is, you don't know what was happening about that meat.
Just eat what's set before you.
Eat what's set before you. That's what my mama used to tell me when I'm just eating food. Eat what's set before you, be thankful for it, and hope it's good food. But, and not quibble about things and leave it half empty. If it's good food, we should not waste it and eat before it. But in this case, eat what's set before you. And what should not happen? Eat not for his sake. That's verse 27. What's set before you? What should not happen when you're bit to a feast by someone?
You don't ask a lot of questions.
No questions. Ask no question for conscience sake. All right, what is conscience in that sense? Yes. Conscience sake.
Well,
Deva?
If you knew that the food you were going to eat was given to an idol yesterday and the day before,
mm-hmm.
and that there's all sorts of wrong kind of praying around it and all this, you might not want to eat that food.
Mm-hmm.
Because evidently you're not supposed to inquire about where your food came from.
Well, that's in verse number 27, but in 28, it seems like...
We didn't get to
28 yet. Oh, did get 28? Okay, no question for conscience. In other words, you don't ask the question, was this meat offered to idols? Just leave it alone and go ahead and eat.
That's a little funny here.
That's
got something to do. Was this meat offered to idols? That would be rude, I guess.
That's true. But in verse 28, that's another situation. But what? What's the contrast here? What's happening in verse 28? 10?
Well, the host is saying, this meat was offered to idols,
mm-hmm.
and it's like they want to see what you're going to do.
Yeah. What should you do then?
You should not partake.
You should not partake.
For the conscience of the one that gave it to you.
For his sake, to show it, and for conscience sake again. Again, how would we define conscience? Do we still have conscience? Is that only in the Bible?
We do. Sometimes.
And how would, if we have a conscience, how would you define conscience?
But this is in defining that sometimes I just can't do certain something
mm-hmm.
because it bothered me for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to take a stand, even though it might offend my hostess, mm-hmm. or it might offend my friend. But I have to live with myself.
All right, that's something. Yeah, Dan.
Well, it means with knowledge.
With knowledge, conscience. Sometimes is described in what negative way in Scripture? What is the negative way in which it's
about the people that have their conscience seared with a hot iron?
If a conscience is seared with a hot iron, what happens to that conscience? Does it work anymore? It's not sensitive. It will not work. Now, we've talked and used this illustration many times before. For instance, the personal, what is that thing over there? On the heat.
What?
Thermostat. Right, now, the thermostat decides whether it's too hot or too cold, and it just goes to a certain thing and then cuts off.
It's
set at a certain place, and it operates. But if it doesn't work, either it'd be too cold or too hot, and so our conscience, if it's defiled, it's not working. Whether to do this or do that and so on. A conscience that is seared with hot iron. What is true? Are some people even today have seared consciences?
Yes.
And if that's the case, what happens to their conscience? What happens? Did they lose the conscience?
Yes.
Yeah, what?
They have done some things and different things so often, mm-hmm. even though it's wrong, but they do it like it's right, that they don't have that little feeling within them mm-hmm. that this is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Now, the word conscience is the word unconscious. Part of conscience? Another form of that word, is it? Somebody's unconscious.
They're passed out.
No, conscious.
I know, but is that part of it? Conscious? Conscience? Maybe the same root, see? Maybe the same root. But the conscience tells us what's right and what's wrong if it's operating. Did Adam and Eve have conscience when they were there in the garden?
Yes.
And what did Eve do that really doesn't seem like she had a conscience that was operating? What did she do? What did she not do?
She yielded to Satan.
Yielded to Satan. And if she really knew what Adam was told of the tree in the middle of the garden, do not eat there. The day you eat there, you surely die. But anyway, she ate, and of course Adam didn't ask any questions. He went ahead, and he was commanded by the Lord, wasn't he? Don't you eat that fruit in the middle of the garden. And he still ate it, so he wasn't operating with the word of the will of the Lord either. But a conscience, if it's working, will cause genuine Christians to stay away from evil, from sin, things that are contrary to the word of God. Yeah, what?
And I think this is the reason. This is a reason that parents who have the first connection with their children have to help train the child's conscience. And if the child lives in a godly home, he would have a godly conscience. But like if he lives in a home where there's a lot of drinking and debauchery, mm-hmm. he'll have a different kind of conscience. But he knows no better.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be just that mother and father that doesn't give their child a good conscience.
Yes, and don't use it. Is that? Okay. So these are very important things. Conscience is important, but if it's seared with hot iron, it will not work. A good conscience will tell us when things are bad and wrong, stay away from them. That's what a good conscience will do. A bad conscience will go ahead and do it no matter what it is. See? So, as with conscience, for conscience sake, ask no questions. With 28, if he tells you that, for conscience sake, for the earth of the Lord, and so, eat not for the one that's showed it to you. So if it's well known that it's offered to idols and it was told to you, just stay away from it completely. Did we read 29 yet?
No.
Oh, excuse me,
Well, is he not necessarily condemning eating what was offered to idols?
No, if he's conscious, he can eat it if he doesn't know about it.
I mean, Paul when he's writing.
Well, that's true. But,
he says later on in his chapter, if me and my brothers offend, we know meat. Right. Well, standeth,
mm-hmm.
But it's depending on the particular situation, I think.
Mm-hmm. There's some Christians that know that it's offered an idol, they don't eat. Other Christians don't know that it's offered an idol, so they eat because they don't know. But if somebody tells them, then they do. Yeah,
well, is it wrong? Is it actually wrong to eat meat that's offered an idol? If it's wrong, then they shouldn't do it at all, conscious or not conscious.
Well, if they don't know that it's offered an idol, it's...
If I knew it was offered to idols and I ate it anyhow, then that's wrong. My conscience.
Well, that's wrong if you knew it was offered to idols. Then they say, don't eat it.
Why would it be wrong?
For the sake of the person that asked you, remember? It says right there in verse 28 and 29.
Wouldn't be wrong. Like if I was a hostess and served a bunch of stuff that I got from the temple that was cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Can I say this? Well, I mean, is it right or wrong?
If you know that it was offered to an idol, somebody tells you, don't eat it. Absolutely. Don't eat it.
I thought it was to offend somebody.
Well, no. If somebody tells you, for the sake of the person that tells you, it offends his conscience. So yes. Don't eat it. That then?
Well, in Acts 15, there were listed two times that was repeated what was decided by the Jerusalem Council about, different things that the Gentiles should continue to do,
mm-hmm.
but not the law. But
mm-hmm.
in verse 20, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols,
mm-hmm.
and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood.
Yes.
So that is things.
So that's a definite thing for Old Testament brought into the New Testament. Four things that should not do.
For the Gentiles.
The Gentiles.
At that point.
Acts
15, verse 20.
15:20.
And it's repeated again in verse 29 of the same chapter.
Acts 10?
Acts 15.
15, all right?
20 and 29.
All right, so these are things that, ask you no questions for conscience sake, to set before you. But in verse 28, if the man tells you it's offered, then just don't, for his sake, the torture, just don't eat it. Because it will stumble him, perhaps, when you do that. Did we read this?
If he wasn't concerned about it, he probably wouldn't have mentioned it.
Right.
Yeah. He's mentioning it.
Uh-huh. Pastor Dan.
Well, brother, verses 24, 1 Corinthians 10 makes us think of you all this evening. Many of you are not feeling well or have colds, and you're laboring in the Word and helping us from a distance. Thank you so much for your labor in vain, for your labors on the vain. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Another man seeks his own, but every man another man's wealth. In Christ, David and Rebecca Howell.
David and Rebecca Howell. God, let's wait. David and Rebecca. Thank you very much.
Oh, I want to tell you.
Yeah, go ahead, Rick.
I ate your strawberries.
Jam.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Okay, so
delicious.
We're glad for that. And now,
I have your boom fish, so you have to come back and get the little jar.
Yeah, come back and get the jar sometime. Now, Dave Rebecca, I said North Carolina. Tell us if it's South Carolina. I don't remember.
It's
South Carolina. Oh, God, just change that. South Carolina, because I got this on my answer. All right. So, that's, did we come to verse 29 yet?
Yes.
Okay, we're on 29. Let me just change this to be sure, because I have it North Carolina in my thing. It's South Carolina. Okay. All right, it's 29 now? Did we read that yet?
No, not yet.
29, 30, 31? Read those? Okay. 29, 31. For the conscience I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of? For that for which I give thanks. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 29, 30, and 31. We're 29, Bob. Yes. And again, the word conscience is used. Whose conscience is being concerned here? Which conscience is listed here?
The person who's eating.
Person who's eating? Dad?
The person that's serving and that asks the question.
Person that asks the question? Not thine own, but the other. The one that's giving you the meat, right? Giving to me, the other that's giving to me. Why is my liberty? So we have liberty, as it says in verse 23, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. So this is a case where it may stumble the other person.
Is
liberty? The liberty verse in verse 23, all things lawful, something like expedient. My liberty, verse 29, of another man's conscience. Then in verse number 30, if he is a partaker, what partaker of what, do you think? Questions at vftdc.org, 856-261-9011. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. After that?
He's a partaker by grace.
All right.
Partaker of the meat.
All right, of the meat, okay. By grace. Then what's the question they asked? What's the question about that verse?
Why am I evil spoken of
for that for which I give thanks? So he wonders.
Who's that?
That's in verse number 30. He wonders, there's no problem with him eating if he doesn't know his offered idols. But for the sake of other people that are to stumble him, he doesn't ask any questions for conscience sake.
No,
verse chapter 10. Chapter 10. Verse 31. 30 and 31. So if we give thanks for something, if we don't know that it's wrong, we just go ahead with it. Then, we read 31, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Therefore.
Oh,
I know.
And verse.
I was an X, I'm sorry.
Yes. Sammy had a verse in X. That's where he got an X. So, there's an alternative here in verse 21. What is the 31? What is the alternative? This or that? What is the alternative? Yeah, Pastor Dan?
Either you drink. What are you doing?
Whatsoever
you do.
So, that's three things.
Three things. Okay, we eat or drink. Whatsoever you do, three things. What should be done? What should be done?
To the
glory of God. So, there's lots of things that people do and they eat, but it gives offense to people just knock it off and so that you're not hurting other people's conscience. Even though it's for you, there's no problem with it at all. All right, let's read verse 32 and 33. Give no thanks neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God, even as that pleases all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So, Acts 10, verse 10 and verse 31. 32 and 33. So what is the order that commanded in verse 32 that Paul tells these Christians at Corinth? Yeah, 10?
And then offense first to the Jews, then to the
Gentiles. And none offense.
And then to the Church of God.
It's very hard, is it not, to live without giving people offense in some way?
Yeah.
Very difficult. There are three groups in the world. And what are the three right here in this verse?
The Jews,
and the Gentiles,
and the
Church of God. Who is the Church of God?
The Church that is His body.
Church which is His body. The genuine Christian believers, saved, born again Christians. Those are the three different things. And is that a local church, like some teach in Connecticut?
No,
it's the true God. In other words, all those that are genuine Christians, believers in Christ and saved, they're in the church, which is His body, the body of Christ, and they're there. And they're saved. Those are three different things. But none of that heathen any three of these. Now, we don't deal too many times with Jews these days. If we know some people that are Jews, we talk to them. So, but and Gentiles, a lot of people, we deal with them. A lot of people are Gentiles that we talk to. And those are genuine Christians, the Church of God. But we're given none offense. Is that easy or difficult? Easy or difficult?
Yes, you are.
Well, you're saying easy or difficult, or it depends. You don't want to answer the question. Is it always easy? Yeah,
well, apparently not for the Church of Corinth, because it's present prohibition. Mm-hmm. They were giving offense.
All right.
And so he's going to stop giving offense.
Yes.
And so they were having a hard time with it, and so if they have a hard time with it, then I suppose
right.
It's hard.
Now, there's certain things that we offend people regarding which are true and right. Do you think this is talking about that particular offense? No. What are some of the things that offend unsaved unbelievers in this world? Tim?
The gospel.
The gospel offends, doesn't it? You believe the gospel, that Christ died for the sins of the world, the deity of Christ, any of these things. They're rejecting these things. So, that's not the type of offense. If it's truth, we talk, and if they differ with us, that's when they put little things, I guess, like eating meat, offered idols, some of the smaller things, give no offense. Kind of these people. And then, what is Paul's practice in verse 33? What is Paul's practice? What is true that Paul's like at that time?
To fix the place on man in all things.
All right, now, what does it mean to be a man pleaser? And is that what Paul means here?
No.
Well, how would you define being a man pleaser? That time, is that?
That's a primary purpose.
Primary purpose, all right, fine.
To do things just to please people.
Please people, that's right.
And if you try to please people, you don't like to
sin. That's true, but if you do sin just to please people, that's not right, see. So we got to be very careful. And it says in verse 33, not seeking my own profit. What do you think that would mean? Not seeking my own profit. Yes, Tim.
He's seeking another's welfare as opposed to his own.
All right.
Going back to that verse.
All right.
Verse 24.
But what profit should he be seeking? That's right. Yeah, the profit of many, that they may be saved. So he wants to do everything he can, and he says in other places, to the rich, he tries to become rich. He's trying to be all things to all men that he may please. Not please in the sense of being sinful, but try to accommodate, and not just to change his beliefs, but to make it possible for him to come to Christ. Yeah. Tammy?
Yeah, I was just
going to
say that. It's the end of a goal. Mm-hmm. He wants them to be saved.
All right, then. Any other comments or questions on chapter 10 before moving? Anybody have a question? Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Now let's just read verse 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll close for next week, probably, of 11. 11, 1, 2, and 3. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I have gracious brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. We'll take it up more willing next Thursday, but any other comments or questions you may have before we close? Well, if not, let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank Thee for these words that God has given to Paul that we can profit by. It's true, all things may be lawful, but not expedient. They don't help people. And sometimes it's best that we watch ourselves and not hurt people and even hurt ourselves in our testimony. We thank you, Lord, that Thou art the God of all creation. The whole earth and the planets and everything about the earth is from Thee. Thou didst make it, Thou didst create it. And we thank Thee for our Savior that came, born of the creators as well, as far as the Holy Spirit, in addition to that, fact that he came to seek and to save the lost. Help us to live for him, to love him, to serve him, that we may be a good testimony to others around us, not only to the Christian believers, but all the unsaved people as well. And bring us back on the Lord's Day, and help us to live for our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for coming. Yeah.